Hello, and welcome to Season 12, Episode 0 of the Ubuntu Podcast. It's 26th of March 2019, and we're finally back. Yes, we heard you calling. Welcome, if you're a listener, to some of or all of our previous 11 seasons of chatter. And if you've just discovered the show, welcome also. I'm Alan, and joining me this week is Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Alan. Lovely to be here again.
Lovely. And Martin. Hello, Martin.
Hello there. How are you?
Super. We're the regular presenters of this nonsense, with the odd guest presenter throughout the year. We'll also have interviews, news, and discussion. Today, though, I thought we'd slide into the year with a gentle catch-up on what we've been doing since the last episode, back in December last year. Seems so long ago. We'll be back next week with a traditional classic episode of the Ubuntu podcast, but let's get on with it. So imagine you've bumped into us in a pub and you haven't seen us for 3 months. And, you know, you want to know what we've been up to. That's the context for this episode, is what have we been up to for the last 3 months? So, guys, like, what have we been doing? We've barely been speaking to each other, I know. I know people don't believe us, but we really don't talk about the podcast for, like, 3 months after ending the last season. So you guys are strangers to me. You really are. What have you been up to then, Mark?
Well, I have been continuing my DIY adventures.
Bathroom cast.
No plumbing this time.
Oh.
I'm currently replacing all of my internal doors.
Is that a euphemism or is that? No. Okay.
I'm not sure what it would be a euphemism for, but I'm not sure I want to know either. The doors, you've been to my house.
I have.
The doors we have to our rooms are pretty old and horrible. They're sort of plain brown flat wood veneer.
I honestly had never noticed.
They're not what I would have chosen.
I could say they fit in with the rest of your house, or I just hadn't noticed.
They do fit in with the rest of my house in that they haven't changed since the 70s.
Okay.
I spotted on our local Freecycle site someone was giving away a load of slightly more modern doors, so I thought I'll have them. And then having hired a van and got them home, I thought, right, now, how do you hang doors? Yes. So, yes, I've been working on measuring and trimming and painting and adjusting hinges and so on.
Having had to hang doors in a house in the past, I can only imagine this is not going well, Mark.
Actually, not too bad. I've got 3 left to do. One of them, the first coat of paint is currently drying on, and the 2 I've yet to start, but they're not too bad. They're more or less the right size, which makes life easier.
Wait, you've got 3 left to do. There's only like 5 doors total in your house, isn't there?
There's 7 internal doors.
Oh, okay.
There's 5 upstairs and 2 downstairs. I did the ones downstairs were quite a lot of work, but once I got the hang of those, doing the upstairs ones hasn't been so bad because I measured everything before I started.
Yeah, every time I cut or draw a line on something, ready to cut something, I'm getting flashbacks to my classes, my DIY classes at school. Where, is it measure twice, cut once, or is it measure once, cut twice? I can never remember. That's where it all falls apart.
I think it's a bad worker always blames his tools.
That as well, yeah. Huh.
Hopefully by the time that we come back, I will have an update on the finished product and I won't have to think about doors again for a while.
I've only ever had to hang a couple of doors and I found it a very traumatic experience.
Yes, that is a good word to use, I think.
I've got a technique down. I mean, it kind of helps. I'm like, these doors already have hinges attached and there's already holes for the hinges to go. So I just sort of need to sort of maybe make them line up a bit. But then I have a technique involving various size stacks of coasters.
Yeah, I have a technique, having, you know, done this several times in the past, which is to basically hire a carpenter now.
Right.
Yes. This is one of those jobs like my bathroom where I could get it done now and do it myself, or wait a long time until I have enough money to hire someone to do it for me.
So I imagine what the listeners will be keen to know is how many weeks are we going to be talking about door hanging before you move on to the next DIY project?
I'm hoping that the next show will be the last mention of door hanging.
Oh, no.
Because I intend to have them all done by this weekend.
Right, okay.
Awesome. What about you, Martin? Have you been hanging any doors?
Absolutely not. No. I've been catching up on popular culture. My Ooh. Wife and I have been watching Game of Thrones.
Oh my gosh. What? How many hundreds of episodes have you been watching in the last?
Well, we have watched all, we got a box set at Christmas and we have, like last week, we finished watching all of the ones that have been broadcast so far. So that was up to the end of season 7. And I believe that was 77 episodes to watch them all.
And they're, what, just over an hour long?
They're an hour long, yeah. So that's 77 hours of Game of Thrones. And I have to say, of these sort of, you know, long-running drama series, this is the first one that I've watched, and my wife agrees with this as well, where we haven't felt fatigued by the story or bored or, you know, the fact they're going over old ground. It's the story is always moving forward. It's always compelling. It's always really engaging. We've really enjoyed it. And so,
because everyone who's in it dies within a couple of episodes, isn't it?
There is some turnover of of cast members, certainly. but in a few weeks, season 8 is being broadcast, which will be the final season.
Well,
so
they say that, don't they? They say that.
Well, I think it's going to be. It's been advertised as such now. So we're bang up to date, just in time for season 8.
I don't know why I'm sounding like the expert. I've never seen a single frame of Game of Thrones.
Oh, really? No, not to want to sound like that guy, but it's excellent. It's definitely worth a watch.
Have you read any of the books?
No, deliberately not, because I know that there was some similarities between the TV series and the books in the early seasons, and then they diverge, so I didn't want to have
It does get quite confusing.
Yeah, I didn't want to be tainted by that.
Huh.
Yes, and if you thought the episodes were long, the books are weighty tomes.
No, the episodes always end, and it's like, oh no, it's finished. Oh, should we watch another one? Yeah.
There's very few shows that have done that in the past, that have made us want to like just crank through so many episodes in a short period of time. I watched while I was at Fosdem in February, I noticed a new show came out called Russian Dolls on Netflix.
Oh yeah.
And I had my laptop with me and I sat on the Saturday night between the 2 days of Fosdem on Saturday and Sunday, watching every single episode back to back. I watched the whole thing in one go. And then when I came back, I told my wife and said, you have to watch this. It's brilliant. And then sat down with her and we watched it like pretty much back to back over the course of a couple of days. So I've watched that whole thing twice through.
And how many episodes is that?
Oh, it's only like 10 episodes or something like that. One season, 10 episodes. But it's just, there's very few things where I would, it's like that kind of triggers the mind that you want to see the next episode. I remember as a kid watching those cliffhanger black and white things. I mean, obviously they're reruns, but Rocket Man and stuff like that. I used to love watching those. But, you know, now it's very high production value TV shows on Netflix and not some very low budget black and white stuff.
Yeah. My wife and I watch quite a lot of these, you know, long-running series things. And we made a rule recently, which is we're not going to watch from start to finish like the whole thing without anything else in between, because we've always had this, you know, you get bored and fatigued by the story. And we did do this with Game of Thrones. Partway through, we broke it up with a couple of things that had, you know, come out. But we wanted to get back to Game of Thrones. And I think we went from season 4 to 7 without having anything else in between. We just really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
What have you been up to then, Alan?
So I've been traveling a bit more than usual recently. And I looked back and a couple of people pointed out on our Telegram channel, which you can join yourself if you go to ubuntupodcast.org/telegram, pointed out that I probably have quite a high carbon footprint for a podcaster. And that kind of stuck in my mind. And I did think, that's probably a conversation for another day about what my carbon footprint is. But it did make me think, yeah, I am traveling a little bit more than I used to. And, you know, back 20 years ago, I was traveling every week to European cities and working around the world. But more recently, I've mostly been working from home. But this year, I've done a couple of trips, one to Malta for work. We had a company sprint. Martin was there as well.
Oh, sounds terrible.
It was absolutely lovely. It's one of the number of positive things about working for Canonical is every so often we all get shipped off to a rather nice hotel and get fed relatively good food and lots of coffee for a week while we work. You know, it's, as the person who cooks in the house, it's quite nice to have a week off and me not have to cook anything at all, and just have, you know, the waiting staff in the hotel bring us food and every so often maybe go out to a restaurant and stuff and go out. It's really nice intermixed with, I know it sounds like it's just a big jolly, but like we spend a lot of time working during the day, like long hours it can be.
And into the evenings as well, you know, despite all the fun we have, there's you know, long nights as well.
Yeah, true. Like even to the point where the bar next to the hotel, you could even see the Canonical Wi-Fi from the pub nearby. So, you know, we get our laptops out and we're sat hacking on stuff in the bar during happy hour while we're having a beer.
To be fair, to set the context accurately, we found out happy hour started at 5:30 in the evening, which was when the end of day was for the work. So we would then go to the bar for the start of happy hour and all get our laptops out and do another couple of hours whilst we were in the bar on the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, not every night. I'm not trying to paint us as workaholics who drink and work at the same time. But, you know, sometimes people come and sit next to you. And this is one of the benefits of when you work from home, to get together at a place where you can all sit around and, you know, think, what if we did this? What if we tried that? And you sat in the bar and it's like, well, I've got my laptop, get it out, let's have a go at doing that. And, you know, you can work on ideas while you're in the bar is just quite a nice thing. But yeah, lots of work got done. It was really nice to go to Malta and see a whole lot of people I work with who I don't get to see very often. And then I went to Scale conference. So yeah, I was doing quite a lot of traveling. Scale was great. I would love to go there again. It was really community oriented. Conference. There's loads of corporates there, like Microsoft were there, Facebook were there, and all the distros were there as well. But it was really friendly, really welcoming, a really great conference. So I feel that set a bar for conferences that I go to now compared to some others. It's really worth going if you get to go to Scale. So yeah, I've done a fair bit of traveling.
Yeah. Your comment about carbon footprint's interesting. I saw some of those things ping past in the Telegram channel a couple of months ago. And I was actually thinking about this yesterday, because yesterday I filled my car up for the first time since we last recorded a podcast together.
Wow.
And because that's how little I use the car now, because I also work from home and, you know, I rarely go anywhere, you know, in a car. It's mostly public transport on the trains and planes and what have you. But I used to have a job where I would be filling the car up every other day because of the length of the commute that I had. So I think on balance, I'd like to think on balance, my carbon footprint's come down, but maybe I need to sit down and calculate that at some point.
Yeah.
I suspect the flights might offset the non-use of the car.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, because these modern aircraft are surprisingly efficient per passenger. And, you know, it's rare that you get on a plane these days and it's like empty or half empty. They're usually rammed. So I think, yes, it'd be an interesting thought exercise, I think, to figure that out.
I know someone in the Ubuntu desktop team tried to calculate their carbon footprint based on working from home. I'd be interested to hear from any of our listeners. Our contact details are in the show notes. Let us know if you've researched this, because when you're working in a building, an office building that's centrally heated and centrally cooled for hundreds, maybe thousands of people, compared to all those hundreds of people working from home and individually heating their entire house. Most UK houses, you can't individually heat one room. Most people have central heating or whatever. So, you know, looking into what your carbon footprint is as a home worker, who's, you know, probably putting the kettle on a number of times just for themselves and heating the house just for themselves, and the power usage of using the laptop or desktop computer all day at home and lighting the house in winter. I think it's not an inconsequential amount of power. And I'm not, you know, a super hippie, but equally I think it would be nice. I do consider sometimes, you know, could I do one of these, take a year off from flying? And I would imagine if I approached my boss and said, I want to take a year off from flying, he might be, you know, very thoughtful and considerate, but actually would say, you realize, you know, to do your job, you have to travel. Like, you know, in order to go to conferences and stuff, you're going to have to fly and stuff. So it's difficult. It's one of the pitfalls of the job we do, I think.
Mm. Do you think that's a problem with our industry in general, that, you know, we're expected to go, you know, to big central conferences, even though we have the technology to do basically everything we would do there online? We're expected to go and spend time in central locations, which usually require, you know, if not flying, some lengthy travel for most of the people going there.
I don't think it's unique to our industry. I think
I'm not saying it's unique to our industry. I know some other industries do it a lot less, particularly some academic communities just decide, you know, especially where it's relevant to their field, decide that it's not worth the carbon footprint to do that when they can get the same results from doing things remotely.
Right. I honestly don't know. I never, there were certain contracts I had before I started at Canonical where I didn't fly at all. And there was one where I took the train every day. I would cycle to the train station, get the train to work, cycle from the train station to the office. And it was a very small office and they didn't have very good air conditioning. So they certainly weren't using an awful lot of power there. but you know, you compare that to, you know, now at home, the lights are always on, the computer's always on, it's always being heated, mostly when my wife is here. But yeah. Yeah, it's something worth thinking about.
When I'm working from home, I'm sitting next to my server, so I don't usually have to have the heating on.
So anything else you guys have been up to since we last did the podcast?
I have made my first baby steps towards starting a YouTube channel. And by baby steps, I mean I've uploaded 2 videos. And in fact, the last video I uploaded was like at the 1st or 2nd of January or something.
And what are you videoing?
Really, I suppose it came about as a complementary thing for this podcast. So when we get into our usual stride and we have a chat like this at the start of each episode, we talk about what we've been up to. And one of us may have made a thing or discovered a new bit of technology or something interesting, and we give it a couple of minutes chit chat. We don't really dig into it very much. And then we get a load of comments in the Telegram group and Twitter. Can you tell me more about that? Have you got a blog post? Blah, blah, blah. So I was thinking, oh, I should probably write blog posts for some of these things. But I write a lot of stuff for work, and sitting down in, you know, the evening for fun, writing something doesn't feel like fun anymore. So I thought, what could be easier than making a YouTube video? So I've published 2, which are sort of, one was a collaboration with HexDSL in his end of year Linux game, best Linux games of the year video. And then another one was, I just made a high capacity USB storage device, which was off the back of something we'd actually discussed on the podcast a couple of months earlier. And I've now got about 6 at various states of in production. And I've realized that it's the finding the time and space to sit and record the bit of you talking to a camera is the most complicated part of all of this.
I always assumed watching, you know, the videos that I watched was that the editing it afterwards would be the bit that takes the time.
So that does take time, and I've had to sort of, I started at zero there because I knew nothing about, you know, how to edit video at all. And I still don't know very much, but I know enough to sort of, you know, bang out a reasonable quality video. And that does take a lot of time. It's some hours work, but it's actually good fun because it's new to me. I'm learning as I go, and therefore that's I'm enjoying myself as I do it. But I've got a small room here, and I have to pack a load of stuff away, and then I have to get a load of gear out, and I have to set up all of this stuff, and I have to set up lights and, you know, point cameras at the right places. And then I scripted the first 2 that I did and tried to, first memorize the whole thing and read it back, and then use a teleprompter to read it back. And this is, it all just takes just an inordinate amount of time. So like we've done with the podcast, where we've tried to find ways to find efficiencies and make it easily reproducible. I need to find, you know, a similar workflow for doing videos to make it as easy and efficient as possible so I can up the, you know, release cadence.
It's funny, when I watch most YouTube channels, I'm constantly thinking about how they made it and, you know, did they script it and are they using a teleprompter? And some of the higher end ones, like someone like Dave2D, who puts a lot of effort and has a very distinctive visual style, I look at his and think, your videos look so simple. You have a very simple set. Any of the B-roll is just the device that you're reviewing and you sliding your fingers across it for some bizarre reason. Whereas you look at some others, like super high-end ones, like MKBHD, who uses very high-end equipment and has multiple people working on a video and clearly takes a long time to get done and does a lot of outdoor shots and has a very creative eye. There's certainly somewhere in between just turning on a camera and pointing it at a desk and, you know, MKBHD at the other end.
So what I've learned is that the B-roll, which is like all of your incidental footage, you know, of the device or whatever you happen to be, you know, showing to, you know, your viewers, I had no idea just how long it would take to film a static object in lots of different angles and slow panning motions and it all, like you say, when you watch these more professional channels, it all looks so simple and it's infuriatingly difficult. So it's one of these, I didn't want to spend a load of money on equipment. So I've kind of been figuring out how to do similar effects with a very manual setup. And in itself, that's quite good fun, but it means that the whole process is now massively protracted and therefore it takes a huge amount of time to actually record yourself, record shots of things, and then you've got the editing after the fact. But I am enjoying it. I just want to find a way to turn them around a bit quicker because now the podcast has started again. I know we're going to talk about things and I'm going to want to make a short video to supplement it.
So, Mark, have you been playing lots of games?
I have been playing lots of games. It's funny you should ask.
Yeah. Any that stand out?
Yeah, I've been playing Sunless Skies. That's probably the big standout for me. I've probably spoken about the prequel before on the show, Sunless Seas.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
sort of trading / choose your own adventure style game, sort of Elite mixed with, I don't want to say The Hobbit, but something kind of like that. But yeah, they've released a sequel called Sunless Skies, which is similar idea, but in a different setting and paced a bit differently. The first one was very much sort of roguelike. You know, if you're not careful, you die and then you start all over again. Whereas this has a sort of a lineage of characters where you don't have to completely start from scratch each time. And it's easier to sort of learn from what happened before and carry on, which is, yeah, a nice change of pace considering the game's a lot bigger. Yeah, I've completed one of the storylines and I'm waiting for the next update before I play again, because I think there's sort of three main storylines at the moment and I suspect they'll add more.
Yeah,
it's a very, very relaxing game. Well, it's simultaneously relaxing and terrifying because there's lots of sort of, you know, you just set your ship on course and go, and it takes you maybe 5 minutes to get to where you're going, in which case you're just sort of sitting there maneuvering around obstacles. But sometimes you're, you know, in the middle of nowhere, you're about to run out of fuel and some sea monsters are coming and screeching at you and trying to kill you. Yeah, it's good. It's a good balance.
I found myself playing actually fewer games over the last month or so. Up until today, I've had this week off while we record this, and I've played a few computer games. I'm still terrible at PUBG, and I jumped on a Rust server this evening with my son and one of his mates. But other than that, I've really not been playing a lot of computer games. I've been trying to stay away from the computer a little bit, outside work hours as a kind of life balance stuff. But also, I found myself neglecting things away from the computer a little bit. I get so enthusiastic and so caught up in both the work stuff and the community stuff around it. It's very easy to get trapped in, especially when you work from home, like get trapped in still sitting at the computer at 11 o'clock at night. I mean,
yeah.
What time is it now? And I found myself deciding that actually I should step away a bit more. So I made some personal to-do lists, and I've been getting on with those. Most of them are just, you know, stupid little tasks that have been nagging away, like, you know, change a light bulb here, or, you know, tidy up something outside in the garden there and stuff like that. And I felt a real sense of achievement this last week, just getting, you know, minor little tasks. Some of them not so minor, but some of them, you know, you might think, well, why on earth are you pleased with that? But I found some great pleasure in stepping away from the computer recently. And I aim to do it a little bit more over the coming months, other than my commitments to, you know, podcasts and other community activities. But yeah, it's been quite nice to step away a little bit.
Awesome. Well, something else we've been doing, which we all did together, was we had a meetup.
Yes. So this was arranged at the end of last year, wasn't it? Well, it was trailed at the end of last year, shall we say. We said we were going to have a meetup in the new year. And then we said, what type of meetup should it be? And the community decided it should be in a pub, obviously. And so we, you organised that, didn't you, Mark?
I suppose mostly, yes. We went to Brewdog in Reading, where they were more than happy to have us. And we thought we were going to get around 16 people. I think we ended up with something like 22 people overall. And we had some drinks provided by our glorious sponsor.
Yes, thank you. All hail to Bitfolk, the fine purveyor of VPSs in the UK. If you need a VPS, go to Bitfolk. They didn't ask us to say that. In fact, Andy was very much at pains to say, he messaged me privately on IRC. This is how nice Andy at Bitfolk is. Messaged me privately on IRC and said, hey, I'd like to buy some drinks for people, you know, put some money behind the bar, see if you can figure out, you know, that I'm paraphrasing. And I said, that's very kind of you. And he didn't want any thanks. He didn't want us to make a big deal about it. Just wanted to buy some drinks. So, you know, you can't have someone buy drinks for like 20 plus people and then not say thank you. So thank you, Anne. It was very kind of you. Thank you very much.
And it was also lovely to meet everyone and just, you know, have a chat with different people, find out what people liked about the show, what people thought we should change about the show, just generally get to know people. There was quite a bit of bathroom chat.
Yeah, it's good to see names of people in the Telegram channel that you've, you know, been chatting to for years and then actually get to meet them in person and put a, you know, a face and a personality to some text on a screen.
Yes, and a few familiar faces from Og Camps and Foss Talk Lives over the past few years.
And our good friend Laura.
Oh, of course.
Dr. Laura, I think you'll find.
Dr. Laura.
Now, Dr. Laura, yes.
Yes.
Joined us. And Joe Restington, who very kindly, on behalf of Jupiter Broadcasting, produces the show once we record it. He came along as well. And some other good friends. It was really lovely. It was nice and relaxed, and there was no agenda. There was no like talks or anything like that. It was just a social gathering, a bunch of people in a pub, having a few beers. Some of us snuck out. Some of us had food in the bar. Some of us snuck out to Sweeney Todd's pie shop over the road and had one of their delicious pies.
And some of us sniffed discarded pie wrappers.
I was oblivious to this pie thing going on at all.
Oh, man. Next meetup we should have, we should just book out Sweeney Todd's and just go in there and have pie. It's so good.
Right, okay. That sounds agreeable. I do like a pie.
So what sort of feedback did we get from people about the show?
Basically, don't change anything. This was the general feedback. There wasn't anything that they wanted to see removed or changed or more of. So it sounds like it's more of the same for season 12.
Except for episode 0, where we're incredibly self-indulgent and just talk about ourselves for the entire half hour. Yes.
There is an element of, we know the listeners like to catch up with, you know, what we do. That little segment that we do, you know, every week, the quick 2 minutes thing. And this is a, this is 3 months of that in a podcast, basically,
So that's the end of episode 0 of season 12. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with a traditional classic episode of the Ubuntu podcast, full of the normal news, discussion, and top bants. Look forward to seeing you then. Don't forget, you can join our Telegram channel, ubuntupodcast.org/telegram, and you'll find links to everything else you need to know about the show over on ubuntupodcast.org. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.